Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio, where every week we look at astrology and we bring in a higher consciousness perspective with it. Typically, my shows are live every Wednesday, but today we have a very special episode that is galactic, that is cosmic. It's going to be perfect for those of you who are light workers, empaths, starseeds, or anyone who's just awakening to all of the wisdom that their astrology chart holds. Tonight we have Lavendar, who is here to share with us her remarkable work on astrology. So let me introduce Lavendar, and we're going to get going because I know she has a lot of great stuff to share with you. So Lavendar's records of her remarkable work with the Pleiadians cover nearly 30 years. She is a firsthand witness to ET demonstrations and participants in their projects, and she chronicled her journey as their scribe and emissary. Her assignments have included mentoring celebrities, politicians, and high-profile people, while also writing two books, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, and 50 Questions and Answers, releasing all of this after 30 years. Her discovery of star markings, and most recently her website, starseedhotline.com, is where she empowers starseeds as a galactic master astrologer, and she does this to better serve the planet by reading and decoding their star markings. She has a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio called Starseed Radio Academy, and she is releasing information in her journals for the first time after they were locked in a bank vault by Pleiadian directive. Now is the time for their release, and now is the time for more of Lavendar's teachings to reach more people. So I trust that if you are here listening, you are ready for this information. So welcome to the program, Lavendar. I'm so delighted to have you here this evening.
Well, thank you so much, Molly. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my starseed work with you and your listeners.
Thank you. I know we're going to have a fascinating conversation, and I'm just ready to dive right in because I want other people to understand how deep their astrology chart goes, how specific it is. So to begin, could you tell us about your discovery of starseed markings in an astrological chart and help people understand what exactly starseed markings are?
Okay. Well, the story I'm about to relate to you has to do with galactic beings that conducted their demonstrations and experiments on the planet to guide people of Earth. It makes me wonder, you know, if they do this on other planets as well. I'm sure they do. But as a scribe, you know, it's taken me a long time to decide to release this information. I've been tracking it since 1980. But it all started right after I bought a house in Cripple Creek, Colorado, and I took a break away from psychic counseling. But wherever I went, I had my ephemeris. This is a book showing the daily astrological placements of planets since 1900. And I had completed my astrology studies at the Academy of Atlantis in California in 1975 and had used those tools to assist people with their life's path. When I didn't have their chart, I would just simply look at an ephemeris to find the planet placements. A curious thing, though, started to happen right after the eclipse on February 16th of 1980, and that was at 26 Aquarius. No matter who I was meeting for the first time, I was finding people with 25, 26, 27 degree planets. It made no difference whether they were young or old. Everyone, I mean everyone, had these 25, 26, 27 degree planets, which now are the three of the seven markings that I call starseed codes. At first, I thought, well, how cute. And then it became apparent that something was entering my life from the twilight zone as I realized that the odds of this happening were right off the chart of probabilities. An astrology wheel has 360 degrees, and there are 12 signs with 30 degrees. So to my amazement, there were only 36 chances out of 360 that I would find someone with one of these three particular placements. So why was I drawn to people with these markings, I kept asking myself. When I think of all the different people from all walks of life whom I've asked for their birth information, somehow being guided to cross my path, I realized this was some kind of galactically designed plan. Once, at a restaurant, on impulse, I stood up and announced that I was working on a project and needed everyone's birthday. I passed a tablet around for everyone to write their information. and there were about 75 people there, and I was surely going to find one that was not starseed. Wrong. I mean, every person had the markings. I just about flipped. What made those people be there at that moment? Why did I stand up and ask for their birth dates? That's when I knew this had been planned by beings much more attuned than I. Of course, later that night, I drank a lot of wine because now it was beyond the beyond in tracking. This went on from February 16th of 1980 until November 18th, 1983. In those 3.5 years, every single person I felt compelled to ask their birth date had these star markings. It was clearly a demonstration orchestrated by advanced beings, and then it stopped suddenly. It was just over. I remember the timing because it coincided with the completion of another galactic assignment. It had been my task to lead 18 people, one of whom was Shirley MacLaine, in a 2-night initiation ceremony which took place inside the Great Pyramid of Giza on what I call the Pleiadian lineup. It's a solar alignment that happens at the Pleiades in May and November. I had obtained 40 pounds of tiny, double-terminated quartz crystals, which I had been telepathically directed to acquire from Arkansas and bring to the pyramid. They had been secreted away in the Queen's Chamber for those 2 nights, while a group of Pleiadians placed codes of frequency within these crystals. When I asked for an explanation of how powerful these crystals were, all that was told to me is that they resonated to the seventh celestial power, and that we had nothing on this planet with which to measure that. I was only to know that they held a balancing beam between man and nature, and their energy would be time-released through the coded star marks of 25, 26, and 27 degree astrological timing. Aha! Now I was beginning to comprehend the purpose of the demonstration of the last 3.5 years, and these were just 2 pieces of the puzzle. And I would refer to these crystals later as the Giza crystals, and they have now been tracked as their distribution all over the planet. But back to November 18th of 1983, when the high strangeness star marking demonstration stopped. After 3.5 years of everyone having them, now no one that I met had any of these markings, and I paid close attention to this oddity. It was like I had been a human galactic Geiger counter finding star seeds, and once I was through with the demonstration, it all changed. Now, I was simply drawn to star seed walk-ins and light workers without asking for their birth information. I just knew. That's what 3.5 years of demonstration had taught me. I became so familiar with the energy of these star seeds that I didn't need the ephemeris. I would go up to a stranger, hand him a Giza crystal, and just keep walking. After all these years, I've come to know that these crystal energies are time-released and activate on their own. But I've noticed that when the planets are in those star code degrees, they seem to be activated the most. I worked with these codes extensively for 8 years after the demonstration ended. And then everything seemed to change after that. I went down to a place in Florida to a friend's house, and I had been waiting to receive a fax from California, because at that time I was working with the actor environmentalist Dennis Weaver, who was helping with a documentary on Nobel Peace Prize laureates, and I was to look at a proposal being faxed. While waiting for these 85 pages to come through, I got an unexpected call from a lady who was going to lecture that night and insisted that I go too. Imagine the jolt that I got when I found out that the subject of the evening was Nobel Prize laureates. Looking back, I know it was not just mere coincidence that I met Roy Tate that night, the author of Astrology of Genius. He had done an astrological study of 427 Nobel Prize laureates, looking for a pattern of similarities in their charts. I went to his lecture and spent time with him afterwards, and he was a 26 Virgo sun. For hours, I studied these charts. Because of what I had discovered years earlier, I automatically scanned for the star markings in the chart. To my utter amazement and astonishment, here's what I found. 95% of the Nobel Prize laureates were born with the markings, received their prize on the day with the markings, and they died with the markings. And remember, there are only 36 chances in 360 of having one star mark on one day. What are the odds that over 400 of 427 had the 25, 26, 27 placements at birth? And as the receipt of their award and their passing. The enormity of what I saw was so overwhelming that I had to lie down for 3 days. And that doesn't even include the other 4-star markings that I knew about that I saw repeating in many charts. This was the keystone. They had led me to a big picture that went with all the pieces that I'd been collecting for over 11 years. So that is my beginning story of that.
Yes. Oh, it's so fascinating. Just phenomenal to hear how this came about and how this all unfolded for you and the specificity of the markings. So, Lavendar, for those who are even new to the concept of a starseed, what is your definition of starseed?
Starseeds are beings that choose to come to evolve to be on this planet at this time because of evolutionary movement, of coming to advance the race of advanced beings. There's a lot of starseeds now on the planet, probably more now than has been for a very long time. And the reason for that is because our whole planet is going through an evolutionary movement. And from what I have gathered from tracking, I really started tracking this back in 1980. When that eclipse happened it on February 16th of 1980, it was like this huge door opened for me to start tracking the people that had decided to come to the planet with a particular agenda. It was the agenda of taking spiritual 101 people to galactic 404 is kind of what I came to know it to be. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's the advanced placement route where you accelerate.
Yeah, right.
Very quickly. And you're here for that, and you're supported in doing that work. Starseeds are supported in doing that work. And so the astrology chart clearly describes and shows people who have these star markings and who are here on that path. Can you tell us about how you found soul groups? This is a fascinating topic, too.
Well, okay. When I read The Expected One by Kathleen McGowan, in fact, that book sat on my for 3 years before I ever picked it up, I was so curious about this book, especially at the end. When I got to the end of the book, I just sat straight up in bed and I went, oh, my goodness, because what she'd written in there, I had lived in Cripple Creek, and I went to see Linda Goodman every week. I'd go down and have coffee. I'd bring a bottle of brandy. We'd walk in, and there was a conversation that when I hit that door, this is what she'd say to me. She'd say, are you going to help me with the Jesus scrolls? And I'd say, I'm not. And I'd say, are you going to help me with discovery of star markings? And she'd say, I'm not. And we'd sit down and drink brandy. So this went on for 7 years. So when I got ready to leave Cripple Creek, I had a copy of the Emerald Tablets that Thoth had you know, left in the pyramids. And I had a copy of it, and I thought, I need to leave this here in Cripple Creek. I don't need to be carrying this out of this place. So I was told to take it to Linda Goodman. So I took it to her, and I said, I know, I'm not here to help you with the scrolls, but here's the Emerald Tablets. I said, somebody's going to come to your house, and you're going to know who this person is, and you're going to give them the Emerald Tablets. So here I am years later, and I'm reading The Expected One by Kathleen McGowan. And she's talking about going to see Linda Goodman and that Linda Goodman gave her the Emerald Tablets.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
I said, oh, my goodness. I said, isn't this funny? After all those times I kept saying, I am not going to help with the Jesus scroll. Here I'm going to help with the Jesus scrolls. Because the moment I read it, I knew she got me. Okay, she got me. So I called Kathleen McGowan and we started talking. And she said, well, can you find the Jesus, Mary Magdalene, marks, star seeds in a chart? I said, yes, I can. So I found 25, 26, 27 of Virgo and Pisces. Those were the markings that would activate people either with a bloodline that they were carrying that had the knowledge or their records or both. And so I put the call out, and it wasn't no time at all that we found about, I think there was like 28 people for the trip. All the people had these same markings. So when we got over to France and started doing all the Jesus, Mary, Magdalene work over there, all 28 people
wow.
just started buzzing with the same frequency.
Wow.
It was phenomenal. That really got me to really thinking, oh, my goodness, we have soul groups. So when
yeah.
I got back home, Tammy went to Arkansas, and while she was there, she called me and she said, you know, maybe you should find the markings for the crystal workers. And how about people from Atlantis? So I said, okay. So I went and I started working with that. And so eventually, you know, we came to start doing our Starseed Quest in Arkansas four times a year. And so at different times, I'm asked to find the different soul groups. So the soul groups that I have found now are the Atlantean soul groups, the Crystal Masters, and the Jesus and Mary Magdalene. I do have other markings that I'm working on now with Native American Indians and different bloodline experiments.
Oh, that's so fascinating. And so people can find out more about their own personal markings in a session with you. Is that what you recommend if
well,
people
first,
are listening and they really want to know?
Yes. On our website, Ariel, she does the confirmation readings. And if you want to find out if you have the markings, she takes an order and then she does a recording and sends it on an MP3 file. If the person wants a longer in-depth session with me, then she'll refer, you know, them to me. But to
okay.
get the confirmation needs to go through her first, usually.
And
just
that's at
starseedhotline.com. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Sorry.
Okay. So I do stay booked about 2 to 3 months in advance, and I do specialize in solar return timing, and it's something mm-hmm. that I've really fine-tuned over these 30 years to help a person understand their 10 hours of power and how to manifest for themselves in the coming year, because when they're in their 10 hours of power, every cell in their body is 1,000 times stronger than any other time of the year. Except when they're 49. When they're 49, it's 10,000 times stronger because it's called 7 times 7 Chela, and that's when they get brand new baby cells in their body and they're ready for their next 50 years. So 49
oh,
is
beautiful.
A big time, yeah.
Yeah, and it relates to the Chiron return, of course.
Right.
Yeah. So our astrology charts hold so many stories, and I think it's fascinating to go a little bit deeper into what is meant by natural state and rites of passage in a natal
okay.
chart. How would
so
you
when
explain
I, when
those?
I look at a when I look at a natal chart, I have it color coded. The trines are blue, the squares are red, the oppositions are yellow, the sextiles are green. But when that pattern, when I look at that pattern, I just start vibrating with, I say, well, here's their natural state, here's their rites of passage. And if I'm talking to that person, then I hear their voice. So I'm looking at the chart, and I'm getting all a song. It's like a song that's singing to me when I look at the chart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear the person's
mm-hmm.
voice. Then that takes me to what I call a cosmic bank account. And that shows me credits and debits from other lifetimes. And then I start tuning into their masterships and their lineage and their bloodlines and where they come from before they ever came to this planet. If they have come from beyond our Earth, I will certainly know that. And I will probably see about how long they've been here. Because for some reason,
mm-hmm.
I'm wired that way. I'm wired
right.
to track at this level.
And that's so valuable. I mean, obviously you are a master astrologer who can tune in on that level to give people that insight that I think it just clicks for them. It just explains so much about their journey, what they feel, what they're sensing, why they're here. That it's just it does wonders.
Let me tell you something that I've just learned in the last couple of years. It's pretty exciting to me, and that is that during the time of Atlantis, when they saw that they couldn't really help Atlantis, it was just going to go bye-bye, they took blood from people, and they stored it on the starship Bethlehem. And different periods of history, they'd take these bloodlines, and they would infuse it with other codes, and they would set down different bloodline experiments on the planet. And that's kind of how they started the king and queen thing of England and different places. They were tracking the purity of the bloodlines and keeping them on track. And so, to me, that was, you know, that was a very masterful move to be able to track the bloodlines on the planet. Well, they took me aboard ship and took a drop of my blood, put it in this little high frequency machine, threw my chart up on the screen, which showed where I was born, the time I was born, the date I was born, and I said, "You mean to tell me that with one drop of blood, you know my birth chart?" And they said, "Yes, and you have nothing like this on your planet." And I said, "I know." I said, "Take it back. I cannot handle another thing." So, again, I had to come back and stare at the ceiling for about 3 days. But then I had it. I knew that I had a formula by which to go by, because through the astrological timing, it was going to be in the bloodlines. The astrological timing was in the bloodlines, and when soul records and bloodlines and astrology came together, I knew I had the three galactic spin right there.
Right. So powerful. And I just love all this information, and I'm wanting to make sure that people understand, too, that if all of this is new to you or you want to learn more, please check out starseahotline.com, but also listen to the radio show that Lavendar does every week and listen to her stories and listen to her information, because it will resonate with you on a really deep level. That's what I found, at least. When I was introduced to you back in 2011, it resonates at a really deep level. So I just wanted to let people know that.
And
it's
also,
time.
If you notice, Molly, that I only come on about what, once every 4 months with something out of the bank vault, because I like to empower other starseeds. So if there are other starseeds listening that have books, or if you have anything that's in alignment with starseed or walk-in or light worker information, let us know, and we would love to have you to come on and be our guest.
Yeah, yes, it's time. It's time to share that information and knowledge. How can if someone listening right now align themselves to claim their power as a starseed? What do you suggest?
Claiming their power as a starseed, I think first a person needs to be awake and functioning with their male and female in balance would be a good thing for them to work on first before they ever decide to go any further, because I'm finding that a lot of people are so disconnected from their male and female energy in their body. That'd be the first thing that I'd say is, you know, go to different places or read books or go to people that can help you get your system balanced before you really start into starseed tracking at this level. Because I find that a balanced person stepping into this work it will go a lot quicker and a lot faster than someone that's, you know, wounded or trying to find the answers of their boyfriend or their job. See, everything that I'm doing has really nothing to do with third-dimensional soccer mom stuff, okay?
Right.
I mean, I had to finally just say to myself, okay, I'm only going to put the vibration out for people to come this way that really want to know this information. And you know what? I never get anybody that doesn't have these markings. The only times that I have in these past 7 years is when somebody orders it for someone else. And maybe they won't have a marking. But mostly they do. To me, that's very unusual that I never get anybody that doesn't have them again. So when I start asking people, I say, well, how did you find me? Here's what I'm hearing. They say, oh, I had a dream about the word starseed. I got up and Googled you, and I found you. And then when I look at their birth dates, a lot of these kids that were born after 1980 are showing up. And I was told that I had to hold this information in a bank vault for over 25 years, waiting for the kids to be born after 1980 to be grown and up and ready to do the work on the planet. So now I'm getting a lot of people that were born after 1980.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love hearing that. And I think that is great confirmation for people, too.
And it tells me that the ships and the beings upstairs are beaming the word starseed in people's sleep.
Mm-hmm. They're ready.
Because I can't tell you how many people are telling me that. They're saying, oh, I had a dream, or oh, I heard it, or I went to Google. Yeah. Let me tell you quickly Oh, I'm looking at the time. Oh, I don't have time to tell this story. We're up on 30 minutes almost.
Yeah, we're coming up. Yeah.
I'll be happy
to
come back sometime again.
Yes. That would be great. More stories. I think this is it's so riveting and people are ready and they're curious. I just want to touch on one more thing, Lavendar, before we hang up. And it's something so powerful about energy, how energy does not lie, only people do. And can you explain that before we hang up so that people really get this really deep in their cells, in their DNA, the importance of this?
Well, yeah, that was a one-liner that I came up with. Because if you think about it, an energy that's running, it doesn't have good and bad attached to it. It just is. It just is. And we humans, we put polarity on practically everything. Black, white, good, bad, you know. And we're a polarity planet. I mean, all the astrological timing, we have opposites, you know, Sag is opposite of Gemini, etc. So we're conditioned to think in polarity. But energy doesn't ever lie. So if you can trust an energy move rather than a person telling you something, that's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
Trust the energy move, not the person that's speaking.
And it's more important than ever these days.
Yeah.
With all the channels of communication, you know, not just online, but email and mass media and people you talk with, just always really making sure that you're paying attention to that energy. Another sign of mastery as well.
Right. And there's so much stuff out there with the fluffer nuts of the metaphysical community that sometimes I just cringe on what I hear, what I read.
Yep.
I go, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying.
Yep. Yep, I do. I do. And the more that we are discerning and we use discretion with that, the better we stay in alignment with our soul missions and what we're here to do.
That's right.
So I would love to have you back. I so appreciate that we could have this conversation. It goes fast. It goes so fast. But before we sign off for the night, is there anything else you would like to leave us with here for those who are perhaps brand new to your work and how they can benefit from it?
You know, when I was living in Las Vegas back in the 70s, I came up on a corner. It was on Paradise and Flamingo. And I guess I did run the red light. I heard a voice speaking to me, and it said, "Truth knows its own source." And it was so loud in my head that I ran the red light. And cars were coming at me, and yet they did not hit me. It's
amazing.
Like there. And that was such a profound moment for me to hear this statement and then to be in the intersection with oncoming traffic that should have hit me. And yeah, that it's like, and after that, I knew they weren't kidding about me doing
yeah.
this work. It's like, okay.
Right.
Where do I sign up?
Yeah, because you're already signed up. And you've worked with thousands of people, and it's fabulous to hear these stories and how people can go deeper into their astrological studies as well, that there's so much more to understand than meets the eye in just a natal chart. So,
right, and
thank
also,
you so much for being here.
Also, people might want to go back in the in our Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. And there's a story there called Crack Between the Worlds, and it's the story they told me to put in a bank vault and hold for 25 years. And that's the one that's probably the most interesting to find out how ETs are really functioning here on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And even more information, too, on starseedhotline.com.
That's
so,
right.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me, Lavendar, and we'll have to pick up with part two again later just to hear more.
When do you want to come on our show?
Oh, I'm happy to come in and talk and share. So
of
we
course.
Can figure that out. I will
send you an email with a date and time, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
thanks
thank
everyone
you so
for
much
joining
for having me on tonight.
Yes. Thank you, Lavendar. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone. I'll see you on Wednesday. Take care.
Okay.